This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Blank Podcast, the podcast where we talk to well-known guests
about, I don't know why I'm laughing.
About
stuff
about their lives, their careers, and negotiating the difficult moments along the way. I'm Giles Pay Phillips, and that was totally unintentional corpsing, but actually we bloody well talk about it, don't we? Talk about it.
It's on brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, you stumbling there was what we also talk about with our guest.
Yeah.
Literally stumbling on stage.
Yeah.
So that could have, that's a perfect intro. But I mean, before we get on to that.
you didn't say anything. You were literally just smiling and I started laughing.
I was laughing at you, smiling at you. And then it was all one big reciprocal circle.
Yeah.
Which sounds like an Edinburgh show. Before we get into our guest, who is an absolute legend,
yeah,
we're back.
We are.
It's nice to be back.
It is nice to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back indeed. I'm back from Edinburgh, so that's why it's.
And how did it go, Jim?
Quiet for a bit. It went great. I had such a good time. It went really well. The show was so well received. I got a 4-star review in Pick of the Fringe, which.
That's big stuff, isn't it?
It's really big stuff. So if anyone doesn't know, it's a fringe institution and they only picked, so out of the 3,500 shows, they only picked 200 shows to be given 4- and 5-star reviews.
Amazing, so man.
Technically, my show, according to them, obviously it's only like one person's opinion and there were loads of reviewers up at the Fringe. But that makes it one of the best 200 shows at the Fringe, which is mad. If you told me that before I was going up, I mean, I'd have just called you crazy. I was going up hoping I might get a couple of 3-star reviews or people like it and stuff, and it's gone way better than I ever could have hoped for. So
it's amazing, indeed.
Yeah, and in terms of a confidence boost, it's just been fantastic for my confidence and everything really. So it's been a brilliant month, and I've had so many nice people come up and see it. So anyone that's come up to see it, thank you so much for coming and really 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 appreciate it. So it's been lovely. Obviously, I've missed doing the pod, so it's really nice to be back. But it has been. Yeah, it's a big month. It's a long month. It's an expensive month. It's a draining month, but it's gone better than I ever could have imagined. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, you deserve it, man. And I'm glad it's a great show, and I'm glad that it went well. I knew it would. I had a feeling it would go well, but it's always great to get. You know, we're creatives. We live off validation.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to get a review, a good review. But what's even nicer is that you have people that come along and watch you.
Yeah.
And you're able to just go up there and do it.
Yeah. I'm really proud of myself. Did it.
Oh, it's big. It's brave, man. It's a brave thing to do.
I was like you, quietly confident that I thought the show was good, but you never know until you do it.
No.
you never know. And it's nice, as you say, getting that response. And
if people don't know, if people don't know about Fringe, like, obviously, there's a lot of big comedians and artists that do stuff there, but. you know, it could be pretty brutal to new comedians, and
yeah,
you know, it can be tricky. So if you can get people to come and see you, that's like a bonus, isn't it?
Definitely. Oh, it's hard. And this year numbers were down 25% on what they were in 2019. And yet the same amount of shows came back. Obviously, live performance has changed massively because of COVID.
Yeah.
So it was hard. And I know lots of people that had struggled for numbers and had to cancel shows and stuff. And I had a few days that were, you know, were low. But even those audiences that came were lovely and we had great shows. My theory was you give, whether it's 5 or 50, you give them a good show
because
they paid to see you. And so, but I averaged almost half my room, which is lovely. And I had quite a few packed out rooms, and which is really good considering. Didn't have to cancel a show, and loved doing it. Didn't get to a stage where I was like, oh, not today. I really enjoyed doing it. So I feel so lucky, and yeah, had a lovely, lovely time. So thanks to everyone, not only for people that came, people that supported me online, but also for letting me do all the promo in June and July. I appreciate that. I did go on about it a lot, so I appreciate that. But thank you very much for everyone.
And when's the Netflix special coming out?
Well, we're in current negotiations, and I can't. Okay. I don't want to break the NDA. Who knows what happened next? But I'm feeling confident about the future.
Good.
So we will see. How are you? So I spoke about myself for 5 minutes. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We went camping.
Nice.
It's just nice. And yeah, other than that, it's been pretty quiet. I don't know for anyone else in the creative industries, it's quite quiet the summer.
Yeah.
Christmas is normally quiet, but you only get like a couple of weeks for Christmas, whereas. Yeah, the summer seems to, it's like, can be 6 weeks of very quiet. Yeah, everyone's away and stuff. So hoping things will pick up in the next few months. I'm sure they will.
I think they will. Things sort of start. People are away on holiday.
Yeah.
People take time off work and stuff. They will start coming back in, I think. And yeah, getting back to it. So I'm sure it will all be going back to full fitness, as they say in the football world, which is what we are this week. We're back to full fitness.
We've got a star player that we've just got for on a reasonable transfer fee from his agent. it's the amazing Omar Baroud, who was absolutely fantastic company. I mean, I just loved spending time with Omar. He was such a brilliant talker, very erudite, and obviously very passionate about what he does.
Yeah, it's so easy to talk to. I mean, he talks at one point about getting on with people on stage and behind stage and all that kind of stuff, and being good to get on with. And I can completely imagine what working with him is like, because it's just a joy to be around and easy to talk to. Some fantastic stories. The particular story about what happens to him on stage, absolutely brilliant. But some really heartfelt moments as well about his journey and his career, and a real insight into what it's like as a performer, this one. Real insight into the emotions and stuff you can go through in the process of on set and on stage. So a very interesting one, but a very warm individual and a very heartfelt one, this one. So absolutely lovely. Just a lovely, lovely guy. And yeah, a joy to talk to. And is in a very special show coming up. So it does talk about his new show, Wedding Season, which is on Disney Plus, which is out this week, the 8th. Details are in the show notes below as well, so do check it out. It sounds like a fantastic show, and he does talk about one particular scene that I'm going to be immediately looking for as soon as it's released. So yes, do make sure you check it out.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And as he sort of talked on the pod about Disney Plus through their Stars channel are doing some really great series and stuff, so yeah, it sounds fantastic. I think it's going to be like, it's, you know, it'll be funny, and it's just kind of murder mystery type thing. And you know, I'm really into that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing it start on the 8th of September.
8th of September, Disney Plus. It's nice as well to have a performer on, talking so passionately about a project. We don't do it very often. We don't really get people on promoting stuff very often. But it's actually quite nice when you've got someone coming on in that excited moment of the thing's about to come out. I loved recording it. I'm really proud of it. And you kind of get swept along with it as well.
Yeah.
So it's really nice being in that moment.
And Omar talked about like seeing it pop up on, you know, being advertised on Disney Plus, which is like, must be really exciting when you see that, you know, like to see the banner for your new show and you're in it. And that's really, really excited. So yeah, I would be the same. I'd be really, really excited. And it was great.
Well, I feel now like I've got a friend in this show coming up, and I kind of hope that after this episode, all our listeners will feel the same way. That now you've got this extra friend who's in the show. Yeah. It gives you more of an emotional attachment to the show.
Absolutely. Oh, look, there's Omar. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's the bit he was talking about. And, so that can't wait for that. So do check it out. Before we crack on with the episode then, should we read some tweets out?
I think you should.
I've got two for you. Okay, you're gonna love these. So Adam Murphy.
Hello, Adam. Adam.
Haven't had one of Adam's tweets for a while. So one of our original listeners. Wow, I was over the moon when I heard that the talented Zoe Lyons grew up in Ireland. Yes, this is going back a bit now, the Zoe episode. Mm. Yes, we take our communions very seriously, indeed, for some reason. Listen to her fascinating interview on blank. There we go. Thank you, Adam. That was a great one. Zoe.
Yeah, Zoe's great company. She's brilliant.
That was a great one. And Marie Lamley. I hope I'm saying that right. I really enjoyed this episode. It's the episode of Keema Bob. Quite a recent
Keema's
one.
Brilliant.
So good. Now looking forward to diving into FOC. Fock it up. Sorry, let me say that again. Now looking forward to diving into Fock It Up. Of course, that's Keema's comedy night. And would like to say I really enjoyed you on House of Games. Oh, yeah, she was on House of Games. Mm. Oh, man. And then this is the bit you'll love. Roll on the making of Chopping for Love.
Chopping for Love. Do, do, do. Chopping for Love. That's the jingle. You can use that.
Love that. Love it. We haven't got around to, getting that signed off yet. But we're working on the script, aren't we? So that will happen at some point.
I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Anyway, thank you to Maria there for that that lovely tweet. And Adam as well. Lovely. If you want to get in contact with us, if you enjoyed any episodes, please do let us know. And tag in our guests as well. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and the handle is all the same. It is
at Blank Pod.
It is indeed.
We'll remind you again at the end.
We'll do it at the end. I think we should crack on.
I think we should too.
This is just the legendary, the lovely, the talented, the superb Omar Baroud on the Blank Podcast.
Omar, it's a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And it's a real pleasure and a big fan of your work. And it's really great to have you on. Now, we normally start this podcast by finding out a little bit about our guest's background. Has performance and I know you do lots of musical theatre and obviously do acting as well. Has that always been something that you've enjoyed doing from a young age?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it started off when I was, I grew up in Holland. I'm from a Caribbean island called Curaçao, which is a colony of the Netherlands. So I've got a Dutch passport, okay. So I'm Dutch. So I kind of grew up in Holland. So we get kind of, our queen is the Dutch queen. So you get kind of free travel. Basically, the Dutch have their own island where everyone speaks their language. So the island is full of beautiful big houses with Dutch people who go to this, exotic place where you can just,
What's it called again?
Curaçao. Curaçao. It's so Curaçao. Beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful, but also stay there for like longer than 2 weeks.
It looks stunning. Oh my word. It looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So I kind of grew up in Holland, and in Holland, when you go to secondary, I think when you go to secondary school, you've got this tradition that everyone does a musical at the end to kind of signify the end.
Oh, right.
Oh my God, I love that.
I know. So it's kind of beautiful, isn't it? Like everyone does it. It's just like this Dutch tradition. And we were just doing this musical, and I remember sitting in class going, oh my God, I can't wait for rehearsals. And I just didn't know what that feeling was. And I think I decided on the day there was this joke that the boy peed in his pants. And I decided on the day, on the show day, we only had one, right? And I decided I was going to wet my trousers like massively. And I came out and everyone was in stitches. And I thought, this is it. This is what I want. I just want people to laugh at me for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Wow. That's so an that's amazing
where it
kind of, story.
That's like, where it started.
So did you just go in the loo and just sort of sprinkle a bit of water or did you go full method?
No. I just stood there and peed like a true method actor. Yeah. No. I went into the loo and I just wet myself. And I remember going, oh my God, this is way too much. It was just fully wet. But I came out and everyone was laughing so much, we had to kind of pause, and I thought, I love this feeling.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you got a proper laugh break.
Yeah, yeah. It was at 11. I was 11.
Oh, oh man, what was the musical?
It was like a. It's always like a goodbye. It was okay. The same theme, like a bunch of kids go somewhere and it's their final holiday or something like that. Right. So we had like songs to sing and stuff like that. I think that's where it started. And from then on, my parents were like, oh God, what I could talk about was like, I want to be an actor. And they're like, no, that's not real.
So it wasn't like, it was, performing wasn't in your family then. It wasn't something that passed
down. It wasn't. No. Although they support me so much. And I think my mum's always like, I think, you know, if I had the chance, I'd be a brilliant actor. And I was like, really? She'd be like, yeah, maybe one day we could do something together.
You get it from me. Yeah, it's not from your father, it's from me.
It's definitely from me, yeah.
Yeah, but mum, the thing is, are you prepared to throw water on yourself on stage? That's the limit we're talking about.
Yeah, that's next level. That's amazing, though. What a great tradition, though. What a lovely thing.
I know.
Because I guess we have, like, I remember at primary school doing this sort of end of year assembly, you know, for leavers assembly, I suppose. And that was an opportunity to sort of rinse the staff and be horrible to them. And send them up.
So British.
But I love the idea of like doing a musical, a whole musical. That sounds fantastic.
I think so. I think it's like the Dutch have quite, I think they've nailed education a little bit, especially in the younger years. We spent a lot of time doing creative things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like breaks during the day where we would just write or draw. There was so many. I remember now looking back, I'm going, there were so many chances where they went, express yourself in a different way rather than just, you know, sitting down and trying to cram information in.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, I think that's also something. Yeah. And in Scandinavian countries is similar as well. You know, you start a lot later, like with regards to reading and writing, and there is a much more of an onus on like poetry and write and creative writing as opposed to literature, but also those creative fields, which we do tend to sort of in this country we so much of an onus on sort of STEM subjects, you know, like the maths and English and stuff, which is, and there's a, obviously that's fine, but yeah, we do tend to sort of bypass some of the creative things where for a lot of children that's actually their biggest outlet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that, now looking back, because I came here when I was 14, so I did get a bit of the GCSE vibe and get the kind of compare bits, and I feel like when I came here the creative parts were quite separate. Like, in like, this is now the time where you do the creative things, and just so you know, this is very different than the other thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like in Holland, they kind of mixed it up. Whereas you kind of, I don't know, I feel like those things do inform each other.
Yeah.
Like your brain expands when you're drawing or when you're writing, which helps you do math.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it all kind of melds together, which I think they did so brilliantly. I'm not young, so I don't know whether they still do that. But I remember coming here and going, oh, this is definitely the time for, this is the time for, you know, this creative thing. No, now is the time for serious science.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so true about sort of opening up the mind a little bit more with creativity. And I guess at that age as well, when your brain's developing still and you're learning about what you're good at and what you like doing, it's the perfect time to be creative. I mean, because it gets beaten out of us. Beaten out of us a little bit, doesn't it, I guess?
Yeah, as absolutely. Because I think also there's the look of like, okay, we just need to show you what jobs you can go into.
Yeah.
And that's why this is very specific. Whereas I think, you know, just even, you don't have to draw to become a drawer, or like you don't have to do rehearsals for a musical to say that I want to be an actor. It just helps you build social skills with your mates.
Yeah.
Which will help you further in life when you have to do a speech in front of your employers.
Completely. Or confidence, self-confidence of being yourself, or being comfortable in who you are around other people. I completely agree. We've said it before, Giles. We've had performers on before, and we talked about sort of kids doing performing arts growing up, and actually how it should really almost be compulsory for all kids, because it does help with self-confidence and social skills and stuff.
Yeah, so, well, my eldest is such an introvert, really finds social situations very, very almost painful in a way, because he's, you know, he doesn't find those, does not comfortable in those situations. But he decided to do drama, which was amazing, and it's so much, it's so helped him with that, those kind of things. He's a lot more, I mean, he still finds them difficult, but he's able to communicate now in a group or whatever, and actually say hello to people in the street. But because he's been doing drama, and that's given him that confidence to do that. And it is, it's amazing what those things can do for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So hang on, okay, so okay, let's go back. Let's go back then. From we had the pretend weeing on stage incident. That's the birth.
That's
the birth
of this journey. That's literally the birth, yeah.
What happened next? I mean, actually no, hang on, before I ask what happens next, have you ever had any moments post that in any shows where you've had to go that deep? You had to go that deep.
not
on the same kind of like subject area, but just being, I don't know, in terms of like really sort of committing.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, this is going way into a different direction. I was thinking about this recently with Cabaret. You're going that deep into like a character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think growing up, I thought the acting before I did it, I thought you needed to be like method and like, oh, I need to spend a week being sad and just looking at sad stuff. Just let me Google pictures of sad things. Maybe that will help me be sad. And I've just realized the more I've done stuff going, actually, the happier I am, the better I am on being sad on stage.
Oh, interesting.
Like it's literally changed my mind completely. And I've just, the whole method thing to me personally, you know, if you find doing things, I just find it a bit of a, it just doesn't compute for me. Cause I also think, you know, the beautiful thing about the arts and stuff that we do is the feeling that you give the audience and the kind of wonder story and all these things that come with, you know, doing live theater or watching a movie and going, whoa, I didn't realize that happened in that part of the world. But also to then want to do that and then spend the time that you have off with the people around you, kind of not engaging with them because you're in a certain space to get there. I think that's a bit of a cop out, not a cop out, but a bit of like negates the whole point of art for me.
Yeah.
Cause I'm fine. So I found doing more jobs going, actually the less deep I go in my personal life and everything that surrounds it and backstage and, I just, you know, we are a group of people and we're here to do this together. The stuff that happens on stage is just so much easier. Whatever that stuff is, whether it's trying to be excited or, because Cabaret it's bleak. It's so bleak. And I think what Amy and I do backstage, we just joke around so much, but it really helps. It really, really, really helps. The bleakness on stage, which is one of the biggest lessons I've learned about. Yeah,
that's fascinating. Is that linked to a sort of self confidence then? That and almost like a separation of like work and personal life. That what happens on stage is work, and I'm confident in myself that I can reach those places, so I can relax off stage.
Yeah. I think so, but I think it also comes in. I feel like the more I love my surroundings and I love the people that I work with or I see them in a more loving way, I feel like that love translates into pain easier.
Yeah.
On stage. It's just so much easier to go to a bleak place. I know that sounds a bit odd, but it's so much easier to then go to a bleak place with someone that I've spent loving time with. I just feel like that's a bit more genuine.
Is it a trust thing as well?
Yeah, there's an absolute trust there of like whatever happens now, and we know where the story goes. We all know where the story goes.
Yeah.
But whatever happens now, we're all holding each other.
Yeah.
So there's no risk of going, oh, he went so far that, you know, there's none, because you on stage, it's just, it all happens so fast. You don't want thoughts. I feel like entering in going,
yeah.
Oh my God, are you just doing that to actually just to be a good actor or whatever?
Yeah.
There's none of that ever. Which is actually quite beautiful, I find. It's quite, it also makes it easier after the show to just go, okay, that was the show.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now this is my life.
Yeah, because I guess if you're in, if you put yourself into a bleak place and then you're acting a bleak thing, you, all right, that might be genuine in a performance way, but God, how difficult to come back out of that again.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. if you're just, because then you're spiraling, aren't you? I should imagine.
I feel like still a lot in the beginning, a lot with cabaret, I had to like, in the tube, just had to put on really like loud pop music, like bang, like club bangers. I just was just like 90s bangers, like, this is the rhythm of the night. The night. Yeah, life is good. Because it ends so horrible. Not spoil, but it does.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I've kind of gone over that finally, because I thought, it's all good. But in the beginning, yeah, I definitely had to still, even with all that loving and whatever, you still had to, the story sticks. It sticks a little.
Yeah. Sorry, Charles, I thought you were going to ask a question.
No, I thought.
That wasn't, that looked like.
I was thinking about it.
You know, they do on TV interviews where they hold the pause, don't they? Just a little bit too much because they're always waiting for the person to then, they're waiting for the interview to get awkward enough to say something else.
That sounded like,
to the listeners at home, that'll sound like that's what we were doing at that moment. But like, it wasn't. We were basically waiting for each other to ask
a question. Vegetables. I was just waiting and going.
Yeah.
And I hate this music.
Yeah, exactly. It's the awkwardness that gets the best line.
It's like,
that was, Jill, that was really nice to hear. Really beautiful thing to hear. And actually, we've had a few performers come on that have talked so much about getting on with their people, like the cast members, and that love and that connection, and that actually fuels everything more. And it's really nice to hear. And I guess, as you said a few minutes ago, that's kind of what art is in a way. It's a collaborative effort. And I think, you know, even if you're doing a solo show, you're still collaborating with the tech and front of house and the audience. Like, it's always a collaboration somewhere. So I think it's nice that that's what fuels you and gets the best out of you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's nothing's a solo act, even if you're alone on stage. You're not doing it. There's so many people that actually, eventually, if you're on a stage doing something, there's so many people along the way who've informed you and helped you get to that point. And I feel like, why pretend that it's any different?
Mm. How are you dealing with, that's another thing that's come up in the podcast is, you get in this intense, you know, relationship with your people that you're working with, and you know it's like a family to a certain extent, and then obviously then something comes to an end and you have to sort of wave goodbye.
God, yeah.
I can imagine that's quite a difficult
transition. And you can't do a goodbye with a musical either. It's just goodbye.
It's not like let's do another musical to say goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a real goodbye. So what I do is I just wet my trousers.
He's doing it again.
He's doing it again. Just to say farewell to everyone. And it doesn't get a laugh anymore.
No, I feel
really good.
Someone called his agent.
Yeah.
No, I found this really hard in the beginning when starting out going, oh my God, you're all my best friends.
Yeah. We're
going to stay in touch forever. Yes. And then you realize, oh, wow, it's impossible. It's impossible to do shows when you meet 15 people every time, especially cabaret. It's like, how many hundreds? It's a lot of people. And then it's impossible to stay in touch and, you know, keep those connections going with every project that you do. And I found it really hard at the beginning because I found the goodbye part going, oh, this is it now. Mm. But we've bonded.
Mm.
And now I realise that's part of the gig.
Yeah.
I realise that's part of the job. I realise part of getting the show to be good is the bonding. So it's part of, you know, yes, that's my social life as well. But also it's necessary. And it's necessary to make the thing. So I kind of see it as that's the whole job. And I'm not going to lie, in some projects I have met people who have stayed friends and still are my friends. But those have now just come naturally out of those projects rather than in the beginning going, oh my God, we love each other so much. Yeah, because also, I mean, to be fair, not to sound horrible, but you don't want 200 friends, do you? That sounds to me like hell.
It's really, well, this is the thing about social media, isn't it? Because apparently, like, we as humans, we can't actually have that many inputs from people. Like, that's too much. Like, I think 50 is like maximum, really. Otherwise, it's just overload. I think that's why we struggle sometimes with social media and stuff, because we've just suddenly got, I don't know, 1,000 new friends or whatever, and it's just my brain can't take it. So actually, I think you're right. It's just not possible.
It's not possible. I think in the beginning, I tried a lot to keep, because it was a new feeling.
Yeah.
When you're doing jobs, oh my god, this must mean that we are meant to be in each other's lives forever. To try to keep those connections up, and just realize I was draining so much of my own energy.
Yeah.
And I was just becoming less of myself. Yeah. So now I've realized, okay, I just need to, I, as long as I have this core group of people who I can count on, you know, two hands, that's more than enough. And it's beautiful to have this set of people that you know you can trust and always rely on whatever happens. Rather than in the beginning, I just felt like I was just faking trying to become friends with everyone.
I completely agree. As you guys were talking, I was looking at my Facebook just to see how many friends I got. 1.3. What?
How many have you got? Come on.
How many have you got? Well, how many have you got? I've got
about 4,000 something, which is just stupid.
I got 1.3.
I probably don't know. I probably only know about 100 of those people.
I don't have a Facebook anymore.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? You don't. You obviously, how many people do I speak to out of that 1,000? Like 20, you know, regularly. Like it's not a lot. So yeah, I think you're completely right about sort of having a sort of core. I sometimes call them tier one friends. I won't say who's in tier one.
They're the people that you put in your bubble, basically, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, people in tier three probably don't want to hear that they're in tier three, but you know, it's fine, man. And some people move from tier to tier, you know, that happens. But I think you're right about it being sort of sensory overload. And I guess as well, I don't know how you both feel about this, but like I find that I've had like phases in life where some friends come and go. So, and
friends
sometimes
for a season,
that 50,
they call it, don't they?
Friends for a season. Yeah, I get that. And in that 50, it's like sort of football transfers. Someone's transferred out, someone's transferred in. But it's okay.
It's one in, one out. It's a kind of scenario with you, is it?
Basically, my social life is like a nightclub, but a very, very exclusive nightclub.
I can only have 40 friends, so, you know.
And I'm the
bouncer. Sorry.
Sorry, mate. Name's not on the list, mate.
You didn't
mate.
Quite make the cut.
Not with those trainers, mate. Don't think so. But that's okay, because you have different phases in life. And maybe it's the same with jobs, Omar. Like, you have different phases, so people, friends come and go, and that's okay. And I guess almost sometimes letting a friend go or realizing, okay, I'm not so much in this person's life anymore, it's kind of part of growing up and it's okay.
Yeah, I've had that recently quite a lot, trying to grapple with that fact of trying to let people go in my life, because they've, especially when you realize it, when it's friends for a season, when you've made friends in March and you realize, okay, by September, it's just naturally we are going into separate ways. That's fine. It's just when it's friends that have been there for years and you realize now you're actually both going in naturally in a different way. I was just trying to grapple with that, and I was going, oh, that's really tough. Because your body wants to just go, no, but you know, look at all these years that we've had. Look at this history. That must mean that we have to keep going.
Yeah.
And I don't think it does.
No.
But that's what I've recently come to terms with, going, actually, you know what? Just because we've informed each other's life for this long doesn't mean actually that we need to for the next step. We got each other here, right, as friends. And it's fine to let go. But it's hard. It's hard when it's a longer friend,
It is. It is almost a grieving process there.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
And because, especially when it's an older friend as well, that, you know, that someone that's known you before whatever life you've got now, that is really tricky. And I've had similar things in the last few years of that as well. And it is a weird one to grapple with, and to kind of, I suppose, to reflect on, but then to like kind of deal with is tricky. Yeah, so I feel for you in that respect.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to friends, it's a weird one, because I don't think we grow up going, by the way, people that have been in your life for 7 years might leave, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really, you just grow up and kind of go, oh yeah, okay. But I've realized the more I'm truthful to myself and actually going, let me just not force this relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the better it is for everyone.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, completely. It's weird because it's like with relationships, it's kind of a given that like, okay, well, if you break up, you might not talk to each other again, and that's okay. But with friendships, it's sort of framed differently. It's like
difficult
oh, no,
to yeah. break up with a friend as well.
Difficult to break up with a friend, but like,
I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to see each other again. You know that
exactly.
is
like
it's hard. It, which again, like in a romantic relationship, it's much easier. Not easy, but do you know what I mean? It's you can
it's
have
more
that
of a given.
Cut off. But with a friend, it's you know,
it's a, that's the thing, isn't it? You there's like a 2 million love songs about breakups, and you grow up going, there's a relationship and the relationship might have a breakup, just FYI, that's life.
Yeah.
And it's hard and it's painful and it's, you know, it's not fun, but no one ever says, right, you might have a friend for a long time and that friend you might break up.
Yeah.
It's and then you go, okay, but well, how do we even do this?
Yeah.
Do I just go, I just need some space. It's not me.
It's you.
Yeah,
it is you.
Yeah, it's definitely you.
It's definitely you. No, okay. No, but it is. Yeah. It's funny those friend breakups because I realized they happened. They actually happen. I feel like the relationship ones happen. Like we have to talk about it. And
yeah,
this is a
yeah.
moment that we break up, and this is the event.
Yeah.
Whereas the friendships, it just seems to happen naturally.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to go, okay, this has happened now. I'm just going to let it be.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's the way. Yeah, it does. It does sort of happen almost more sort of organically. And then you sort of wake up one day and think, oh, fuck, I haven't spoken to that person in a year. Oh,
yeah,
shit, are we
absolutely.
Not friends now? We might not be friends now. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And, but Giles is right. Social media does blur that. It blurs that line because you think, oh, we're still Facebook friends.
We're still friends on Facebook.
Still follow each other on Instagram.
Or Twitter. Or,
so we must, we must be friends.
They can
but
still
actually,
see what I'm doing.
They can, yeah, they're still in my life. They're kind of still in my life, even though we haven't chosen to be in each other's lives sort of physically. You sort of are online. So that definitely think blurs the.
So then what
the
do? You unfriend them? Now that is, you know, that's hard.
That's harsh.
Or, or even the next level.
Well, Giles, I mean, I'm on my Facebook right now. I've got 1,300. We can get that down to 100, I think. If we just
going to have a cull.
We do a huge cull. Absolutely massive cull.
You're going to massacre your friendship group on
I'm
Facebook.
Looking on some now. I'm looking on some now that I haven't spoken to in 5 years, 10 years. So
yeah. So I get a like once in a while.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
something just to be like, oh, we shared this moment in life and I enjoy what you've done today.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? Because like things like Facebook and Instagram, so they obviously get these like time hops and then something will pop up and it will be, you know, you're reminded of those moments you've had with people. You think,
absolutely.
You know, and
right.
I don't think I've ever actually broken up with or like... broken a connection with a friend though and thought back that was a waste or something.
Yeah.
I think I always, do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's always like, I feel like that is the nicer thing about friendships. It's always like, oh, we did share some, you know, we did, like I said, we did get each other to this point, whatever that point may be, and you helped me in this way and I, whatever. So it is nice to look back and go, oh yeah.
Yeah. We were meant to be friends at that stage.
We were meant to be
in each other's lives at that point.
Yeah.
And now we're not, and that's okay. Would you guys like to? This is such a bit dark. Would you like to help me unfriend a friend on Facebook right now that I haven't spoken to in a long time? Is that weird or is that good? Is this cathartic or is this?
Do you feel like you have to unfriend them?
Well, no, but like
you're freeing up a space for a new friend, aren't you?
Yeah, because there's only 1,299 left. No, because I'm enjoying this conversation, and I think there's a lot of truth to it. And I wonder if maybe I need to cleanse. I'll be honest, I don't go on Facebook that often, so I don't.
No, I don't either. That's the thing. It's become sort of more of a thing for people's parents to go on now, isn't it? Facebook.
Yeah, but the thing, oh my God, I'm seeing so many people that I genuinely don't even know who these people are. It must be like random comedy people or something. But the other side to that is that being a performer, and I don't know if it's the same for you, Omar, but I have an intrinsic desire to be liked by everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So that makes cutting off connections very difficult.
are very hard. I mean, that's where the whole thing came from in the beginning, when you do the job and you meet 20 people and you're like, oh my God, you're like me. So I have to make sure you stay in my life.
Yeah.
Because I love this feeling. Because I'm a psychopath.
I need this.
Yeah.
I need off your love.
Please like me.
Please like me.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, that is the hardest thing growing up. And I don't know if I've still know how to deal with it. Like, the fact of getting people to like me. Like, you're right. It's this constant need of going. I feel like performers do have it. You need a little bit of that, though. You need a little bit of that to do the gig.
Yeah,
I think so.
Because otherwise you won't, you know. Otherwise, I feel like the like, going on stage or, like, going in front of this amount of people, it's just a bit of an insane thing. My friend was, I was talking to my friend who doesn't have this thing of needing to be liked at all. And she was going, I can't imagine, like, what you do is the worst thing that I could imagine. Like, going on a piece of, like, a round piece of wood, and there's 1,000 people staring at you every night. She was like, that is, honestly, that's my hell. But she also doesn't have the need to be liked, which I think, that need to be liked and the adrenaline that comes with, you know, and then there's the joy of the art and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you need a little bit of that to be a bit delusional.
I agree. Well, I think it's what drives you forward with it, isn't it? It's what keeps you doing
it. Yeah. But I think, unfortunately, it doesn't come in it comes in, like, the full swing. It's like, if you need to be liked, it goes, 100%.
It is mad, actually, the concept of being on stage in front of lots of people. You're right, it is actually a completely mad situation that I hadn't really thought of from the framework of someone who's not got the desire to be up there or be a performer or be liked. It is actually completely bonkers when you think about it, but it is just what you've chosen to do.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, this every night there's 1,000 strangers and they just stare at you saying words.
Yeah.
And it's just like, she was like, why would you ever want to do that? Just every night. And I was like, but I love it. She's like, I don't understand. It's funny, isn't it? Because once you actually start thinking about what's actually happening in that space. I mean, for me, it's a sacred space. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's magical. I think that's magical because they're not just staring at me. They're coming for the story.
Yeah.
You know, but for someone on the outside, it's just a very simple, you know, she sees it as like a very simple, there's a bunch of strangers and they stare at you for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird. Do you get, like, it's funny calling it a bunch of strangers because that is exactly what it is. But I have to admit.
But that's to her. But for me, it isn't really.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to the theatre. I mean, this is when I was young. This is why I think I found the love of it when we came to England. Because Holland's got a few things here and there, but they're mostly the big musicals flown over from America. But when I came here, there were so many opportunities. Like, the thing this country does so beautiful is theatre. It's just, like, there's a chance, like, everywhere. Fringe, the big stuff, it's everywhere. And I think I saw so much of it when I came here, which made me go, I need to do this. But I remember sitting in the audience and going, I don't feel like a stranger here. I feel like we're all sharing this communal thing.
Yeah.
That's the fun. Like, when you're watching comedy, the energy that you get from laughing with other people is just unlike anything. It's magical. It really is magical. And you kind of leave, even if you don't really consciously know it. I feel like you leave subconsciously like a different person. You're just like a slightly different version of yourself leaving that place. And I just thought, that's this what I want to do. I want to give people this feeling that I received so many times.
You're absolutely right. And if I can then take those beautiful words you've just said and add a really corny, cringy twist on it. You do, but you do kind of enter the room of a performance, be it comedy or theatre, whatever, strangers, and you do kind of almost leave friends. Not friends, but like people with a connection, people that have a shared experience. You now have this shared connection that you'll always have with those 50, 100,000 people in that room. You all saw the same unique performance that night. And so you're now connected to these people in a way that you weren't before forever. And actually, that wasn't quite as corny as I thought it was going to be. Actually, I think I rescued it a little bit. But
it's not that corny. I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. Especially because it's live theatre, especially. It's just like, it's everything. Every night is different and stuff is different just generally. And there's no, if when you leave, there is no more, you're the only set of people that have seen that version of that show ever.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, I think.
Really cool. And I think that's what you said, like live performance in general, whether it's playing in a band, comedy, doing musical theatre, acting. It is that connection with the audience on a very visceral kind of level, you know. And that must be exciting for you as a performer, but it's also exciting for the audience because they don't know what they're going to necessarily, even if they've seen the show before. Like you say, it can be completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there was one time, oh my God, I just felt so, and I had to make a joke of it at the end, but I had COVID. So I was off for like 2 weeks. And then I came back and the lighting states were the thing I had to get used to the most. I just felt like I was like, whoa, I felt like I took like a bag of shrooms. Like it was, it just felt so strange because your body gets so used to not being on stage.
Yeah.
Like in a day, but it was 2 weeks and I came back and I fell so hard. I just fell on the stage because usually have this little run up and I do this thing.
Literally.
Like literally I face down.
Oh my God.
Fell on the stage. And I thought, oh man, I'm happy this is. we've got this bunch of people and they've seen it and it's tonight. And that's it was so embarrassing. It was so, and everyone went, the whole audience. And it was hilarious. But at the end for the bows, I just tipped the toad on the stage and I got a little laugh. Look at us.
Yeah. But you've obviously unintentionally created a moment there that people, if they went with their friends or family, we'll talk about it for years. And they'll use that as a shared moment to remember something fun they saw.
Do you remember when he fell on his face?
Yes. Yeah. But they'll always look at that in a happy way, in a joyful memory. And you've created unintentionally a really joyful memory for people to look back on in years to come.
That's a nice way to look at it.
I think that's the
And you owned it at the end as well.
Oh yeah. Mining it for a laugh. That's a true comedian. Thing.
All stems from the P, yeah. It all goes back to the P stage.
Everything comes back to P.
I was going to say, in that moment, though, did it feel like that was in slow motion in a way?
It felt like it lasted for hours, that scene, the following scene, because I start the scene by running in and showing her this letter. And I just found, there's this hole in the stage and it literally opens up and I was like looking at it, I was like, please can you just open up and I just can you just sink, just pour me down?
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was just saying the words, but in like robot mode.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I said, how I said it, because all I was thinking of was going, I just fell in front of 1,000 people. I just fell my face.
Almost like an out of body experience in a way then, if you were just sort of robotically doing the words.
I was going, oh my God. And I was looking at, I was in my head, everyone in that audience just laughing back at me or like going, oh my God. Yeah. It was a very strange one. I was very happy that scene was over. When I got to go upstage, I was like, and everyone backstage was like, are you okay?
Are you okay? On some level, you're probably hoping like, did I imagine that? Yeah, really. Hopefully,
hoping I come backstage and everyone be like, "What?"
Yeah,
no, everyone is very much on alert, going. And the minute I said yes, they all just cracked up, like it was like a instant laugh. They just wanted to check I was, which was really nice. They just wanted to check I wasn't hurt.
Bless you. Oh man, but I guess as well comes from a place of confidence that you then could own it later on, and it's just one of these things, I guess, that's happened. I'm sure you've had maybe not moments like maybe that dramatic, but other moments on stage where things don't quite go right and whatever, and you do have
it's life.
Just power through.
You kind of have to just navigate. It's you just don't know what's going to happen. You literally at any point, you know what the structure is, but the way that whatever happens in between those bits of events, the points can change. But that's the exciting part.
Yeah,
that's actually the exciting part, because actually you're like, oh my God, okay, I know where this is going in my head. But it could actually go completely,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of other. It's just like small bits. Nothing as big as a fall.
That was. It's a good story. Great story. Thank you for sharing that. It was really enjoyable. As a comedian, I quite like the bits where you go off things go off book. I've been doing the show at the Fringe, so obviously I got in my rhythm of like doing my set and stuff. But when they go slightly off or you get a reaction from the audience, I got one bit where I bring an audience member on stage and we play a silly little game. I love that because it's a chance to go off book a bit and like play with them, play with the audience. And actually you sometimes get the best bits, the nicest bit, the most natural bits, the most enjoyable bits, biggest laughs actually quite a lot from those bits that are a bit off book in a way because the audience know, oh, well, we're getting something special today.
And can I, on that point, Jim, was there anyone awkward that you got up on stage?
No, so I must have got...
I was just thinking, like, no. That could go really badly wrong, getting the wrong person.
I think, without like, oh my God, I'm going to sound really hard not to sound too like egotistical here, but I hope that in my shows I create a safe environment. I'm a very friendly comedian, that my shows are clean, there's no swearing, there's no audience piss taking. It's very supportive and friendly. So I hope I create a safe space for people when they come in and think, oh, okay, this guy's not going to like rip us to shreds. So that when I then say towards the end of the show, got this silly little game show, would anyone come up on stage? People think, okay, this is going to be safe and whatever. And it is. It's all like jokes on me. It's all kind of like whatever. So no, I haven't had anyone come up that's been awkward. Most people have come up and be like, okay, cool. Let's see this. What's going to happen here. And it's all been fine. I had one kid come up. He was only about 16, but he was a performer. And he was really confident and he was very funny and he was doing his own gags as well, like alongside mine.
So he's the show.
Some comedians hate, but I like that because then that gave me a chance. Then I could do a few off the back of that. So it actually gave us like jumping off.
Yeah, you could volley back.
But yeah, completely. So he was really
started doing his own set.
I had one guy. yeah. I was like, actually, I'll just sit down. You got 20 minutes? That'd be good. I had one guy. So I basically, in my show, this little game called What's Wrong With My Baby, because my show is about like being a dad, and I show them photos of crying babies and they got a guess, and I just do like funny punchlines for each one, basically. And the final photo is always a photo of my daughter from a 4-week-old photos, and she's just crying and she's like hating it and looking like really upset. And one guy came up, and when that one happened, he went, I don't know, is she upset because she's, or didn't know it was a she, the baby's upset because they've seen a photo of themselves, don't know how ugly they are. And I went, oh, mate, you're going to regret that. You are going to regret that because that's my baby. And obviously the room like exploded. And he was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. And I was able to do so many gags off the back of that. Like, get out of the room. So get out immediately. You are banned from this room. And that was lovely. And then, of course, every other night since, I've been able to use that as a punchline. Say, well, this guy the other night said. So those are the best moments. Those are just like lovely moments you can get extra mind extra. Oh, honestly, it was so good. He was so embarrassed. He was so apologetic on the way out. He put so much money in the bucket on the way out. It was incredible. So yeah, I love those moments. They're great. And I think you're right. It's part of live performing. It's the beauty of it is you don't quite know what you're going to get. But if you go with
it. Because I love also when you realize, you know, the humans on stage.
Mm. Yeah.
They're just, yeah, especially when something goes wrong or when someone cracks up. So many times, Amy and I, and thankfully the scenes allow it because we, you know, we're close to each other as characters, but we started laughing. But it's nice to see, it's nice that I feel like when I'm watching stuff, it's nice to go, okay, yeah, see, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
We're all sharing this thing, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, I love that. I love it when people start laughing when they're doing
it. I know, what is that? Why is that so satisfying?
It is.
I remember years ago watching Peter Cook and Dudley Moore doing their little monologues where they're like these two drunks in a pub, and it almost become like Peter Cook was trying to make Dudley Moore laugh.
Yeah,
the stuff he was saying, he just started improvising, and it's just something really brilliant about it, like seeing someone laughing at, I don't know, just it's, yeah. It's yeah, something special about that.
I think because it takes away some of the like actors. That's an actor on stage, and I'm sitting in a theatre watching a story. Right, It takes away that, and it makes it a bit more,
But does it
more real?
It brings you in. It brings the audience in on the joke. It makes them part of it, rather than like, look, listen, we're going to be funny. You're going to laugh. It's more like, oh my God, isn't this hilarious for everybody? We're all on the same page here, and it sort of brings them into the experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, it's absolutely infectious when you see people corpsing and breaking character. It is, and
it's like one of my favorite things to watch was always the bloopers TV shows, you know.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I wish that was just part of the show.
Yeah,
I just watch whole episodes
because sometimes you get movies where it's at the end. Like,
yeah, you do.
I know Pixar kind of.
Yeah,
Pixar did that, didn't they? With with Toy Story, they started adding blooper reels at the end. But there used to be a lot more movies, in it, particularly in the 80s, I think it was quite a big thing to add blooper reels at the end.
Yeah, during the credits. Yeah, I remember that.
I saw a clip from Blazing Saddles, I think it was, literally on Twitter the other day. And Gene Wilder, I think, is trying to make one of the other characters crack up in like a quite tense scene. And I think they left it in because it was quite a funny... I have to try and find it. Send it to you guys. I can't remember what it was. But they left it in. They were like, oh, they did it in one take. He was trying to make him laugh. He cracked. And then they sort of left it. I don't know what the context of the scene was, but it must have sort of fitted in. But I like that. Like, it's just so... it's the most natural state you'll be in as a performer because you can't stop that happening.
That's actually a good... we did while I was filming Wedding Season. This is like a nice little segue. No, but seriously. We did a scene... because there's so many weddings in the show, we did a scene that this wedding it's set in she's marrying a driving instructor, and it's the whole space was set up so beautifully in the most horrible way. It was so it was the funniest day ever. There was like a car in the center of the space, and it was so good. But I was sitting next to Callie Cook. And we just couldn't. We had these balloons in our hand because we had like heart balloons for like weddings, and they didn't, you know. And we just couldn't stop laughing at this. I can't spoil it, but whatever happened in the scene, we just couldn't stop laughing at it. We had to like hide behind these balloons, and they just kept it in. They kept it in.
Oh my god, amazing!
It's just so great. So I was looking back at it, and I was going, "Oh my god, that wasn't even."
Yeah, so hang on. That comes out soon, doesn't it? That comes out soon.
Yes, that comes out 8th of September.
I'm going to look for that. Oh,
it's
my God,
so silly. It's so silly. The whole show is so silly. It's brilliant. Oh, it's so brilliant. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you about screen acting and you know, because obviously you're very passionate about live performance, but you know, how do you find doing screen acting? You know, obviously it's very different.
Yeah, it's very different.
You know, you get those opportunities to redo things.
Yes, which is also very nice. Yeah. If you fall down on your face and pee in your pants.
We'll just do that again.
Let's just dry his trousers off.
Yeah, dry his
trousers off. There's no need for that much pee. I didn't know what to expect. Absolutely fell in love with it. It's very different. It's absolutely very different. But there's a very subtle subtlety, like a really natural kind of way of speaking, because you're obviously mic'd and you don't need to project and all those things. That is so beautiful as well in its own kind of way, because it's so real. And it's then, instead of the people around you being the kind of the magical thing, the person right across from you is what are those 1,000 people as well. It's trying to get all the energy from each other, which has been really nice and such a learning experience. But I think for Wedding Season especially, we were playing, so it's like this murder mystery rom-com story that is, it's this action thriller. It's literally, every genre that you could think of is in this series. And I remember the first day that we filmed was on this beach in Formby, and we had to be, I play this friendship group and we have to be lifelong friends. And we met each other and it took about 3 seconds. We just looked at each other and we just started cracking up and we just started cracking jokes. Wonderful. And it was phenomenal. I've never, honestly, like with any of my theatre shows as well, I've had anything like it. And we still hang out and we become real friends, which is so nice.
Amazing.
And there was none of it during the whole filming. People would come up to us and be like, how long have you guys done? We were like, oh, we just met. that's been the best part of it, definitely.
Is that just good casting that they think these two will get on? 100%.
Yeah. They definitely cast it on energies and which people would get along, because we all did like that. And it was a bit unreal. We were all looking at each other like, huh? But we are friends.
I'd imagine probably one quite rare, and also a part of the process that maybe people don't understand, that with casting and stuff, they're not just casting on like a look, ability, obviously, like will
value.
Fit in.
Yeah, all that.
But also, as you say, like, without trying to sound like a young person, vibes. Like the vibe this person give
literally,
off.
Hashtag vibes.
Hashtag vibes.
That's all casting is just hashtag vibes. No, but it is, and you can tell Catherine Willis was the casting director for Wedding Season, and she's done such a brilliant job, because I honestly, these people, I love them so much. And she's obviously gone and looked at going, okay, they would suit the roles.
Yeah.
But also, like, they have to be lifelong friends.
Yeah.
We really are, because we follow Stefan and Katie. Katie is basically at her wedding, and everyone around at her wedding is dead. Right? They've all been poisoned, and there's blood dripping from their mouths.
Oh my God, I'm so
what the hell happened? And Stefan is falling in love with her. And we follow a bunch of weddings where you kind of get to know the story and get to know Katie a bit more and why. And we've got this friend in our friendship group who now is suddenly with this world famous bride, whatever, Zilla killer, whatever the world calls her. But you go and you see him with his friends, and it's such a core part of his like upbringing and how we connect to him that I think you really do need to. I'm really happy they went off of Energies as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was the easiest. Filming those scenes was just so. There's not one bit of. You didn't have to try one bit to go, okay, now just make sure we look close with each other. Yeah. It just happened, which is brilliant, which is what I hope people. I really hope people watch it.
Oh, I think they get. I think it sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see it. And obviously, it's got like. Some good people involved, obviously yourself and the other actors, but like people behind the scenes as well. Is, you know, and being part of Disney Plus and everything, it's just, you know, it's
I was fantastic. Gonna ask is that because I was gonna ask how actually can we watch it? Is Disney Plus?
Yeah, it's Disney Plus, and it comes out. So 8th of September is Disney Plus Day, which is their annual celebration, and they've got some massive. They've got like Thor coming out, but also Wedding Season, and it's their like day to celebrate all that Disney Plus can offer. And they're doing such a brilliant job with Star, which is their kind of more adult brand. And that's what we're part of.
There's so many great shows coming out. It's brilliant.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry to do a live production meeting on air. Should we release it on next Monday then?
Yes.
Because then it'll be ahead of the... Yeah, okay, cool. All right, just checking. So I've been away for a month, so I don't know what's happening. But so we'll release it on the 5th and then it's ahead of the...
I think I went today on the app. A friend sent me a screenshot because they
I've just looked. It's there, yeah.
It's there. I was like, oh my God, it's there.
Yeah. You can watch the trailer. It's fantastic.
I was like, put it on my watch list.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to watch and find this scene with the balloons. That's the first thing I'm going to look for.
It's very short, but it's very short. But you'll know now.
I will do a screen grab and send you guys. Oh, amazing!
They had to have 7 weddings and have to make sure that obviously because it's weddings, you need to make sure that there's extras, different extras. You can't reuse them.
Yeah,
because there's different weddings.
Yeah.
Make sure there's like, and a wedding has what, 100 people each.
Yeah.
So
you
have to make sure that there's like 100 extras for each wedding, and they're all different.
Yeah. And they're lavish.
Someone's in charge of this.
Are they lavish weddings?
They're lavish. They're nice. One's on a beach. The other one's in a driving instructor.
Not quite so lavish.
That's
cool.
That is really cool. I'm trying to think of a driving instructor joke, actually. If you could, I don't know, when they're up at the altar, if you could just stop when I hit my board here again. It doesn't work. I'll workshop it. Sorry. So I've been away too long. I'm too tired. This has been absolutely fascinating talking to you today. Thank you so much. You said earlier you must be easy to get on with. You really are easy to get on with. This has been the easiest conversation I think we've had possibly ever.
Thank you so much. It's been fantastic.
I was wondering if you guys... I have found someone that I think I want to unfriend on Facebook.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Can I explain the context? So it's the... mother of one of my best friend's ex-wife. Now, I don't need to be friends with her.
That is quite precarious friendship, isn't it?
I don't need to be
like
friends with her.
That's like a bit,
I feel like that's all right.
That's okay. Perfect nice lady, but...
Yeah.
I don't think I need to. So, shall I do it? Shall I unfriend?
No. I feel
I think you should, man.
Why not?
Here we are, unfriend.
Every closed door opens another.
She probably won't even notice. No. I mean, is it worth looking and seeing when she last posted on Facebook?
No, because emotionally that will pull me in. And I should.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She posted she shared your last gig information.
Fuck.
Go and watch Jim.
Now I'm slightly worried, actually. She might be quite supportive. Oh, I might put...
The whole feed is just you.
Go see Jim. He's so great.
Oh, I listened to all your podcasts.
And I really regret what happened with this friend of my daughter. No. Come on, Jim.
Be strong.
You could do it. It's just a click.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's just a click.
Fuck,
you're just a click away from freedom.
Her, actually, I won't say what's on her feed because I don't want her to be, I don't want it to be identifiable. I'm actually considering bottling this now.
Oh, you haven't pressed it yet?
No.
Oh, Jim. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it on a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. Cliffhanger.
And then
next
season
week,
two
on blank.
What a cliffhanger.
Did he or did
previously.
He not?
Previously.
Yeah, previously.
On blank.
Guys, I'm about to press it.
Oh my God. We should try and remember that for next episode, Giles. We won't because we always forget.
Oh God.
Okay. Right, fine. Yeah, fine. Cliffhanger it is. My hands are away from the laptop. So.
Oh, I love that.
There we go.
Oh my God. Oh, Omar's going to be listening every week now.
He'll be like, no, not yet, not this one.
They're really stringing the storyline out. Wow, they're really pushing this one. I'm actually quite nervous, actually. Okay, anyway, no, that's it. I'm not touching it.
Okay. Omar, thank you so much for your time, man. Oh, this has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And
we appreciate you coming
on today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to all my crazy stuff.
You've been brilliant. You've been absolutely brilliant. Omar Baroud on the Blank Podcast. What a lovely, lovely, lovely individual. What a talented performer. What an interesting person. And what a just very easy, easy guest to talk to on the podcast. Absolutely lovely. Some fascinating stuff about his journey. Some fascinating stuff about behind the scenes and working on stage and on screen. So I loved all the bits about the friends and moving on from friends and all that kind of stuff. I very, very nearly unfriended someone on Facebook. It might still happen. Join us next week to find out.
Jonathan, that's exciting.
But I loved all that stuff. But again, when you get an easy guest like this that's easy to talk to, you can venture in. You know, we didn't plan to talk about friends and stuff, but you can venture into that. And that was really lovely, actually, all the stuff he was sort of saying about the journeys you take with friends. So, yeah, great guy. Just a lovely guest. Great one to come back to.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant one to come back to. Yeah, and yeah, like you say, a brilliant, brilliant person and a great person to talk to. And yeah, I enjoyed all that stuff about talking about friends and, you know, friends for a season and stuff. I think, yeah, it's a conversation that we don't have a lot with one another, I don't think, about that. Because it does feel like a bit of a taboo, like the idea of moving on from friendships to a certain extent. And like we said, it's sometimes easier to move along from a romantic relationship. Also, that's not easy. Can be very difficult. But the idea of sort of splitting up with your friend that's really hard. That idea, and it does, like you say, as you spoke about on the podcast, it does kind of happen organically a little bit. But yeah, it's an interesting subject matter that not something that we talk about very much, I don't think.
No, it was nice to sort of be able to sort of give that some time to talk about it. So yeah, let us know, tweet us, you know, if you're going through the same thing, let us know. We're here to chat to our listeners, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, our Twitter handle is
@blankpod.
So yeah, let us know what you thought. If any of this kind of struck a chord with you, then please do let us know. We like hearing from our listeners on anything, not just episodes, they like a range of subjects, so do get in contact. Thank you to Omar for coming on, and do check out Wedding Season on Disney Plus starting the 8th of September, which is this Thursday, I believe, or Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday.
Sometime this week.
It is Thursday. So yeah, do check
Slip.
That out. Thank you very much. I had to get the calendar on my phone up quickly. And that's it. Right, we'll be back next week with another episode, of course. But it's nice to be back in the rhythm. Nice to be back. I loved Edinburgh so much, but it is nice to be sort of back in my office, back in the chair, back on the pod, raring to go again.
Yes.
And with that kind of chemistry, we can't fail.
No, it's true. Back. It's good. It's always lovely to be back doing blank. It is something I look forward to very much every week. So, yes. And we will be back again next week with another brilliant guest.
Of course we will. But until then, Charles, have a good week.
And you, Jim.
Thanks, mate. And same to all our listeners. Take care, whatever you're doing. And we'll see you next week on the Blank Podcast. Goodbye.
Up the palace.
Up the fucking palace.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.